Hi, you're welcome to another exciting episode of Stories by Folakemi. This will most likely be the final episode for this year and also for this season. It has been a beautiful ride. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for your reviews. Thank you for your wonderful comments. Thank you. I see you all. Thank you so much for the love you've been showering on this podcast from day one. If you're new here, welcome, welcome. My name is Folakemi. And this is a platform to share stories of vulnerability, love, and light. To find closure here, you know. We are just here sharing real stuff and light. You know, how God really comes through in everyday stories. Yeah, so on today's episode, which will most likely be the final episode for this year, and we know we've had a really eventful year, I thought to do something nice, which I call 20 things I learned from 2020. Yeah. I had to sit down and really jot down the things, you know, important lessons I picked from this year that a lot of us might be able to resonate with. And even if not, it's something you might need to hold on to join into 2021, because we are moving forward, we are moving further, we are journeying further. These are important lessons you need to just walk through life that this year just brought to us, and you know, just brought it to our notice and brought it to our face so that we understand it. Yeah, so sit back, relax. You can get coffee, you can get popcorn, you can get donuts. If you like, say, get amala, anything you like, just get it and sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. I don't know why this is number one, but it just shows that it really matters, and you know, it's a really core issue. Trauma is in your neighborhood. If you touch your neighbor, the ripple effects will reach your side. That's a major thing I learned this year. You know, that trauma is something that we've normalized, we've internalized in this country or in this environment, and we don't even see anything wrong in, you know, in being traumatized. You see that it's normal, that is what life is. You know, I remember having a conversation with a basketballer a few days ago. He had traveled abroad, and we're just talking, and he just said, I just mentioned that a lot of Nigerians don't know that they are traumatized. They probably need to travel abroad and understand. It's not like I've traveled abroad before, but seeing their movies, you know, reading books, I just know that, you know, this is not what a normal society should look like. And he confirmed and said yes, that actually a lot of Nigerians, in fact the average Nigerian, is traumatized. So in case you don't know, trauma is your neighborhood, childhood trauma, abuse, all sorts of things, the littlest things, you know, people living in places that are not even fit for a normal human being. Even animals shouldn't be existing in some places that people have been made to live, people surviving, you know, through very terrible situations and stuff. You know, we thank God for their lives, but that does not mean the trauma is not going to leave its mark on them. And then if you say, okay, maybe my life is not that bad, or nothing has happened to me, I've never really had an eventful life, the ripple effects will reach you, because if it happens to somebody close to you, you will feel the ripple effects, because they will change, it will change them, it will affect them emotionally, mentally, psychologically, in so many ways they'll be affected. So if you think that, oh, maybe I've not been traumatized, maybe, I don't think so. There are some ways that people act towards you, or ways that people just behave, that you know that this is a ripple effect of trauma, and it has a way of hurting you too. Just like people that ghost, people that prefer situationships to having proper relationships, these are effects of trauma. They may not just realize now. It's not just that people want to be playful, people just want to go on and off. They just don't know better, because they've probably been, they are used to dysfunction. So sometimes we are attracted to people's dysfunction because we've been traumatized. And trauma is something that, like I said earlier, has been internalized. I learned that a lot this year. It was one of my major lessons from 2020. God is interested in your mental health. He wants you to prosper in your soul, which is the seat of your emotions. I really learned that this year, you know, when the Lord started opening my eyes to emotional intelligence, self-awareness, you know, and all these things. I'm like, ha. So God asks for light. You can bring light in this area. So I thought, you know, maybe ask for light. It's just spiritual stuff. Open our eyes to scriptures. Talk about, you know, entering the kingdom of God, possessing the earth. You know, sometimes you don't know that all this big, big grammar that we're possessing the earth, entering the kingdom of God. The process to attaining those things or becoming those things starts from the littlest things like paying attention to our emotions, you know, being whole in our hearts, you know, being healed, you know. God is really, really interested in your mental health. He's interested in you being whole. He's interested in you being fit mentally, you know. He's really interested in your emotional status. I learned that a lot this year because the pandemic and everything affected, oh my God, it really affected people, it really affected us. And I saw the hand of God, I saw God still reaching out, you know, sending me hugs, reaching out to me through the hands of people, through different individuals that I sent my way, through His word, through worship music, so many ways. God was just stretching out and showing me that He's interested in my mental health. Life is full of uncertainties. You need God to navigate life. Ha! If you did not learn that one this year, I don't know what you learned. So if 2020 did not show you that this life is full of uncertainties, who would have thought in January, when we're still enjoying our life, who would have thought that we'll have over 6 months of lockdown, pandemic issue back to back? And even now, we are about to enter what they call the second phase. A second wave, there might be lockdown, there might be, you know, who would have thought that something like that would happen? Who would have imagined it, that there will come a year that people will be forced to sit in their houses for how long? There will be no event, you won't be able to attend church. Like, it was that bad. 2020 just showed us that life is really full of uncertainty. So many things can happen. There were so many, beyond the pandemic, there were so many so many shocking events, so many shocking happenings, so many terrible news. So many things just sprung out of nowhere and happened. Just, it was a really big year full of uncertainties. And, you know, what held me through this year, I can boldly say, is the hand of God. It was really God that sustained me mentally, psychologically, in every way, financially, emotionally. I really saw God. Like, he took God to navigate my emotions, navigate all through those times, you know. It was God that kept me afloat. So life is really full of uncertainties, and it takes God. You need God to navigate life. You cannot do it on your own. I keep wondering how it is and all these other people that don't believe in God or don't believe in Jesus, how they survived this year without that real tangible relationship. You know, when everything was happening, when everything was going berserk, when everything was going haywire, there was beauty in knowing that I can just go to my secret place and engage God, feel His presence again. And then that was adding normalcy to my life. At least if everything is scattering everywhere in the world, I know that, yeah, there is a constant presence. Like, God is still here. God is still God. So, like, at least there's a sure banker. Like, there's something that is constant. Even if the whole world is tipping upside down, God is here, you know, and He kept me stable, He kept me afloat. That was a major lesson from 2020. Pain, grief, and death are all a part of life. 2020 really taught me that was, there was so much pain this year, so much pain, physical pain, mental pain in every form. There was so much pain. You know, I saw how much grief was a part of life, was something we needed to experience to have a full experience of what it really means to be alive. You know, most times you just want to experience the happy stuff, the nice stuff, you know, happiness, joy, just want to be cruising on the boat, you know, just having fun. But to be fully alive, you experience pain, grief, and death. To be alive, you experience those things, because to even unlock eternal life to us, Jesus died. Jesus had to die. That's coming from a spiritual perspective. And even as believers, our flesh has to die, you know, for there to be a fullness of the expression of God in us. Now, to be fully alive as a human being, to fully experience life, you experience sides of life like pain, like grief, loss, death, you know, maybe a loved one, maybe, you know, people dear to you. At some point, it does not have to be untimely. I'm not saying that we'll maybe normalize people dying untimely, or even as you pray for, that's what I'm trying to say, but death is a part of life. And 2020 taught us that there were so many big people, so many people we never saw coming. We never saw a lot of deaths coming, and it was just a year full of so much pain, grief, and death. There is really no overestimating the power of soaking worship. It helps your heart. This year, our hearts needed a resting place, and soaking just provides that place to let go of all the pent-up emotions, break down in tears, and let loose. To be honest, there's no way to even overestimate it. You can only underestimate it. Like, you can never overestimate the power of soaking worship, of spiritual sounds, of music. You know, it's beautiful to see how much healing can be embedded, encapsulated in a sound, that just by soaking in that instrument, or just by soaking in that song, just by leaving that song playing while you sleep, your heart can experience such transformation, such deep healing, like the touch of God. There's a way it just makes your heart tender again. Whatever anger, pain, anything you're experiencing, it really, the size, it just reduces so much, because you begin to see the enormity of God, the beauty of God, the size of God, and everything just shrinks at the size of the glory that is revealed to you. There's no overestimating the power of soaking worship. It was really important this year. In case you did not join the train or you missed out, please, for 2021, you will need it to get spiritual sounds. There are plugs all over Telegram, on YouTube, pages you can follow. There's Start Now channel on Telegram. There's Gospel Connect. There's Koinonia page on Telegram. Then if you go to YouTube, there's World Now Worship that has 8 hours instrumental. Is it 3 hours? Is it 2 hours? 1 hour, 30 minutes, in different sizes. In fact, the 8 hour instrumental, it was written boldly on it, prophetic sleep and relaxation, or something like that, you know. So all these things exist. If you don't search for it, if you don't actively look, you may not find it. And I've brought you a plug for something like that. It was really needed this year, and it will be needed in the coming years too. We become what we confess continually. So if you are, you know, used to confessing negative things about yourself, one thing 2020 told me was that if you keep confessing negative things, you experience it last. And if you keep confessing the word of God, you confess positive things, you confess what you want to see, you will see it. You know, I remember we said 2020 was going to be our year, and it was. Through it all, through everything that happened, you know, we are closing the year with major wins, major testimonies, left, right, and center, you know, breakthroughs for people. You know, you may be laughing and joking about weddings everywhere, but that was the breakthrough a lot of people needed, and they found it. You know, after all that pandemic, after everything that happened, we are still ending the year with major breakthroughs, major testimonies. And it's because we kept our confession as 2020 is my year. No matter, I don't want to hear what the devil has to say. I don't want to hear what's happening anywhere. It's still my year. I'm going to win this year. I'm going to make progress this year, you know. That was the confession. And that's the same way you are going to win in the coming years. You must constantly confess what you want to see, because with time, you are going to become that thing you are constantly confessing. Life is in seasons. Discern your season and align. 2020 was a season of hiding for a lot of people, and for some others, it was their review time. Like, it was legit their state time, you know. So it is really important for us to discern our seasons. I learned that this year. Discern your seasons. Life is in different seasons, because somebody at this point is in their season of harvest. Should not stop you, who is in your season of planting, from planting. You better plant and water your seed. They are in their own season. That means they were planting at some point that you probably did not know, and soon too they will be planting again, you know. So everybody is in different seasons, you know. It's possible that the people that are around you are not in the same season with you. That's okay. That's all right. Just recognize and discern your own season and align with it. What is God saying this season is for you? How is he telling you to position for all that he has for you this season? It is important that you discern it, that you know it, you see it clearly, you embrace your season, and you align with what God is saying in that season. Never underestimate the power of good company, being surrounded by spiritual friends. Oh my God, this is almost times 2 billion. How we for do am this year without spiritual friends? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the blessing of spiritual people in my life. You know, this is something you should not even trivialize at all. You need friends. Like, you cannot do life alone. Then you don't now need jaga friends that be drawing you back. Oh, you need friends, good friends that can discern, that know God, that love God. They may not be always there because they cannot afford to. I keep saying this because a lot of people think, oh, because you are friends 24/7, they must always be alert, seeing you, talking to you. Maybe when your friends are not, they are not working, or they don't have other things to do with their lives. But if they do, they'll get caught up, they'll have stuff to do. But at the same time, their hearts will still be with you when they can, and when they make out time to you, will see the effort and you see the love, you know. Never underestimate the power of good company. It is really important. Friends that pray for you, friends that pray with you, friends that you are praying for, you too, you are giving them word, you're prophesying over. Very important. You cannot afford to just be Kenomero. You cannot afford to be joining yourself unholy. If you're part of those that at this time people in your close circle are unbelievers, you don't know what you are doing with your life, or you don't really know. 2020, there will be a lot of sifting. A lot of sifting. So you will not just go with the shaft. There will be a lot of sifting. You will need good company. 2021. It's not the year to walk alone. You will need good company, to be surrounded by really spiritual people that will hold you up, and you will hold up too, you know. You will be able to, it's easier to face and conquer when you are together. That's what 2021 is. That's what's going to be like, the message of 2021. Everyone is battling something. Be kind, be gracious. Oh my God, I don't even know how many times we need to say this. I know it's when somebody dies or when something bad happens, we remember to remind people, but nothing bad has happened. I'm just saying, if you did not learn that this year, a lot of stuff happened and we're hearing that, you know, but people will still go back to their behavior of trolling people, of making insensitive jokes, or saying all sorts of things about people, you know, making Making fun of people, their bodies, their insecurities and stuff. Everybody's battling something. That person that looks very strong, that person that looks like they can conquer the world, they probably battle insecurities when they get home. They probably cry themselves to sleep. They probably look themselves in the mirror and call themselves failure or whatever at night. But you don't know because they are wearing it well and they don't look like the struggle. Anyways, they're not meant to look like the struggle. So you don't need to necessarily know everything that's going on in a person's life for you to have to be gracious to them. Be gracious because that's what you were called to be. You're supposed to be kind. That's why kindness is a fruit of the spirit. You're supposed to be kind. You don't need to know the gist. You don't need to know what's going on with people before you are kind to them. Please, if you did not learn that, I learned that. That was a very big lesson for me from this year. And it's something I thank God for. This one is deep. God can change the course of your life in a split second. Like, I legit watched my life this year just change. I just saw the course of my life change. You know, here was me at the beginning of the year, a fashion designer, just interested in doing fashion. In fact, I was sewing a lot up until like April, May. I was still very invested in my fashion. That was all I had in mind. At some point, I opened the YouTube channel. It has not been functioning because I don't have a good phone to shoot the videos. So that's one of the major reasons it has not been functioning yet. But I trust God that very soon will be back up. Then, moving on to July, all of a sudden, from nowhere. In fact, the way God changed the course of my life this year is something I'll never forget. All of a sudden, I'm into skincare. Then this podcast came about. The whole story of how I got into skincare started from me searching for solutions for my own skin, you know, and God just really changed the course of my life. I thought, I was thinking that, you know, maybe I'm on the road to Yanopaja and God just sweep me. But no, it's island you are going. You're actually going to the island. That's how we do bio. You know, the change was overnight. It was swift and fast. It had the hand of God there. There was no questions because it had the hand of God on it. And God has been faithful. You know, whatever vision God gives, it sponsors. And I've seen the hand of God. I've seen how much he's invested in what I'm doing. How much he's interested in it. And I thank God. In 2020, I learned that it pays to seek God, hear God, and obey swiftly, obey completely, because partial obedience is disobedience. You know, a lot of people fell into error because they did not take our time to seek God, to hear God on a matter, to seek the face of God, to discern God. What are you saying at this time? A lot of people are already weary, you know, tired, so it's understandable, you know, considering everything that was happening in this very enormous year, you know. But at the same time, a lot of people made a lot of progress. There was so much victory, so much triumph on all sides, and that's because most of them put in effort into hearing God. Like, God, what are you saying? How should I do this? What's the next step? Even during the pandemic, some people had weird instructions like, oh, do this, so see there, go here, do this. And many results, many testimonies have come from those kind of instructions. It really pays to obey God speedily, whether you are going to see the results now or not. If you can discern what God is saying concerning a situation, it pays to hear God. Many people were rightly positioned this year because they obeyed an instruction from last year or something. You know, many people were just really rightly positioned. Many, like, some people got the instruction to take their businesses, their whatever, you know, take it to the digital space. Some of them last year, 2 years ago, and they just did it grudgingly. That, okay, let me shall do it. I don't know why I'm getting this instruction, but let me shall do it. That was what helped a lot of people survive during the pandemic. That was how a lot of people were still making money and, you know, progressing during the pandemic, because they obeyed that one singular instruction when they did. That was why why some churches were still able to broadcast without any stress at all, because they had heard God's voice at some point and they had latched onto it and they had obeyed swiftly. Another important lesson for me this year was that the love of God doesn't exempt you from hurt or pain. It holds you and keeps you through it. So a lot of people believe that, oh, if God really loves me, why did he let it happen? If God loves me, why did he let that person hurt me? If God loves me, why is he watching me just go through this pain? The thing is, you do not have an high priest that is not in touch with your infirmities. He's feeling the pain as you're feeling the pain, but you're on earth. You are subject to it. You know, in this world, you will face a lot of stuff. You are a human being. You will go through what human beings go through, you know. Even as you carry God, which is going to result in God holding you through it, comforting you through it. You have a comforter in the Holy Ghost, you know. That's why it was even called the comforter, not just our teacher, but our comforter, because a lot of things, even Jesus knew that a lot of things will happen on this earth that we'll need comfort for. So the love of God does not mean that you will not go through any bad thing, or bad things will not happen, or I will not say bad things, or you will not go through trying times, or stuff that are not necessarily pleasant to you will not happen, but that you are held through it. There's a mechanism for you to be comforted through it. There's a way for you to still rejoice in all of it and see light, and, you know, and be elevated. Not elated, you are elevated. You know, mentally above those situations. There is no time. Destiny is calling. You have to act fast. That was something I learned this year. I remember at some point I was praying that God help me to redeem time. Add speed to my speed. Help me to redeem time. A lot of people don't know why young people are running the way they are running. The moment you gain like understanding into how much destiny's work is and how long it can take to fulfill it, you understand that there is no time. Destiny is calling. If you will fulfill destiny, if you fulfill purpose, if you would spread the gospel through whatever the skills or whatever way the Lord has sent you to, it will take a lot of time. Time that you cannot afford to waste now. So don't get distracted. So don't waste time. I learned that this year, you know, especially when you felt like we were stagnant because we could not move about. I learned that, okay, now you can now run now. You can run on your knees. You can do so much from the secret place, you know. So there is really no time to waste in distractions, in wallowing, in pain and stuff. We'll feel it too, but we move. Not just because we want to hide feelings or anything, no. We move beyond our feelings and beyond our current disposition, because we realize that the work of destiny takes time, and to fulfill destiny, you have to start early and put in the work. Another major thing I learned this year is that the results of growth are really beautiful, but the process is ugly. Oh my God. People love you when you've grown. They're like, ah, you've grown so much. Like, this is how you used to handle emotional stuff before. This was a level spiritually. But see you now. People love results. Everybody celebrates results. But how many people celebrate process? How many people understand that the process of growth can be really ugly? Whether it's process of spiritual growth, you know, emotional growth, learning to handle your emotions, learning not to bottle it up, you know, whatever growth you are, even financial growth, that saving and investing aggressively is ugly, it's not nice. It's when you have money that people are like, ah, spending. As I said, some money spend that don't give away. Nobody understands or nobody knows, or they know, but they don't really grab that. The process is ugly, it's the results that people actually celebrate. Thank you. Be intentional about the energy you welcome around you, the music, the movies, the books, they are all depositing something in you. You know, at some point in this year, I got distracted, you know, because I was at home, and when you're around some kind of, you know, when you're in some environment, it's easy to just hear so many things. When I was 7, there was no television, there was nothing. So I never know what was the new song, I don't know anything. I was just in my own world and it was easy to curtail it. But when I got to my, I discovered I had to put stricter measures, because otherwise any and everything was seeping into my soul. And many of these things, it's funny when they tell you that some songs sponsor love, they sponsor this, love of money and all that, you don't believe it. But at some point I saw that, is it that I'm struggling with lust or what? At some point, when these songs will be playing over and over and over in my head, and I'm like, I just remembered that it's because you have not guarded this gate. It is because you've not been intentional about guarding what comes into your space, you know, and it is really important. I learned that was a very important lesson for me this year, that don't think that you've passed a level, don't think that you cannot fall into a particular sin again. If you do not guard, if you do not keep yourself on your toes, constantly watching, you will be shocked how fast you can fall. You know, we trust God to keep us, trust God to hold us, but we must also be intentional about guarding our gates, your eyes, your ears, your mind. Make sure you are controlling, you are really checkmating anything that is coming through, and anything that can pollute you is not allowed at all. This particular point is very funny but so real. You can make plans all you want, but it only takes one pandemic to cancel them all. Who did not learn that one this year? So many plans. In fact, some people plan to get married but they couldn't. Some people plan to do so many grand things, travel around how many countries, travel around how many states, go sightseeing, different things, start this one, start that one. But ordinary, it was just one pandemic we needed. And it's not just we may laugh because okay, maybe the lockdown, but some people experienced a mental lockdown, and even after the physical lockdown had ended, they just felt inept. They felt like they were not able, they were not capable of doing anything again. They had underwent whichever one of these is correct, a mental drain, so much mental strain that in fact they were just done. They could not carry on those projects again. So he just told us that make plans, but they're making plans, just trust God. Like, as you have prepared your horse, just know that victory is in the hand of the Lord. There is power in unity, one people, one voice. Oh my God, Ensa's taught me this. Oh my days, what a powerful time to have been alive. Ensa's, that whole season, that whole period was so eye-opening, was so deep. It was just 2 weeks, but 2 powerful weeks. In fact, in loving memory of all the people that were murdered during the protest, or people that were unjustly killed, you know, that was never a part of the plan. You know, may their souls rest in peace. You know, but that same season, there was something we learned. It was the power of our voice, you know, speaking as one, the power and unity. You know, it was like a physical representation. For me, it was like a physical representation of what must have happened at the Tower of Babel, that must have made God come and scatter their language. God must have seen, you know, just like our government saw our oneness and really wanted to crash it. There were different ways they tried to crash. You know, we know that this one isn't for a demonic, you know. Tower of Babel was a demonic mindset and a plan that was not good. So God had to scatter the language, because the power of a people that speak with one voice, nobody can stop them, you know, with one mind. The same way when the Holy Ghost was to come on the earth, it was when people were with one accord in one place, you know. So there's so much power in our unity, and I really saw that people moving out en masse, those that cannot go out, covering online, you know, everybody just had different departments, those that were just out there funding people. Some people were even doing the three, tweeting online, you know, being there physically, still supporting financially. We just saw how much people were there filling the gaps. It was such a time to be alive. That was a major lesson for me this year, that even as a body, when the body of Christ speaks as one, there is so much power. I think one of my biggest lessons from 2020 is that sometimes we are not ready for what we prayed for. Sometimes we have not even imagined what we prayed for. Sometimes we are not mentally prepared for what we prayed for. Okay, I'll give you an analogy. On one of the days this year, the day of my product launch, I ended to get home from somewhere and I was on the road. So I was crossing the express road and I crossed the other side, and this car parked by my side, and it was a very beautiful lady that was driving the car. She's like, okay, where are you going? I said, okay, I'm going to this place. So she said, okay, come inside, let me drop you in front. There was another guy with me. That one was even willingly dropping the location he was going to, you know. Me, I was still hesitant, and she was like, come in. It was me she was addressing. I don't even know if I was hypnotized as I entered, because in my head, I was already questioning me. This person wants to carry me away. What if they want to do this? What if they want to do that? And we are the ones praying that strange people will favor us. We are the ones praying that, you know, people, all manner of people will favor us. People will just love us when they see us. Are we sure that when they are loving on us, we will not think that they want to use us, or we will not think that, you know, our mentality will not shut down that expression in our lives? So I entered the bus. I entered the car. And throughout the ride, I was just shaking in my mind, you know, for a while. And then later, I said to Cecilia that, wait, you've made all these prayers. You're not thinking that on the morning of your product launch that you really think that the devil is that powerful. What are you thinking? That it's possible that the will of God and everything that the Lord has said will just be scrapped out or something. You know, how fear can just grip you and all that, you know, based on the news that you've allowed to infiltrate your mind, kind of things you've been hearing. So you believe that if you enter a random car, you just, that kind of thing will happen to you. Though we have to be careful at the same time, but sometimes in being careful, we are shutting down expressions. Men were not being careful to entertain angels. They were entertaining human beings, not knowing that they were entertaining angels. What if they had thought that, I don't know, this person is a stranger, or, you know, I'm just, that kind of stuff. So anyways, that's one major lesson for me. It was a big, big lesson that sometimes we are not ready for what we prayed for. And it's very important that as we are praying, we are also studying the word of God, and we are enlarging our mind. We are asking that God helps our mind, helps our heart, so that it will become a fertile ground and can really carry what we are praying for. That was a major one for me. Another major lesson for me in 2020 is that it takes darkness to recognize light. So there may be some seasons that feel like intense darkness, feels like you're alone, it feels like you've been cut out from every form of light supply, spiritual, physical, energy, everything is on a low. It's in those seasons you appreciate light, you understand what light is, and when light comes, it helps you to, you know, see, you will just love it in all its intensity, really. It takes darkness. It's those who have journeyed through darkness that can understand light. I was in some really dark phases at some points in this year, you know, battling. Sometimes it was depression. Sometimes it felt like I just did not know. You know, at the same time, it was that year of emotional awakening and everything. But before you get to that point, people may not probably tell you the darkness you have to weave through to get to that point of sadness, get to that point of emotional intelligence, get to that point where you really understand yourself and you understand what makes you tick. So this year was that year that I realized that it takes a lot of darkness. You will weave through darkness till you get to light. When they say there's light at the end of the tunnel, they mean at the end of the tunnel. You actually walk through that dark tunnel before you get to the light. That was a major lesson for me this year, and it really stood out for me. And I saw it in many situations. I saw it at different points in time that yes, it really takes darkness. Look at those you are seeing, that you really love them, they inspire you, you know, it looks like they have a lot of light around them. They've journeyed darkness, they've actually seen darkness, they've probably sat in darkness, and God had to just
they had to just experience that light to understand what everything that darkness is and the importance of light.
Finally, my brethren, the 20th thing I learned this year is that 2021 is another ball game entirely. So there are those people who think that, oh, we'll just sleep on the 31st and wake up first and everything would have disappeared. No, there are still storms in the coming year. There are still going to be uncertainties. There's still going to be a lot of stuff. It's going to even look tougher than this year. But that's not to scare you or to shake you up. It's just to show you how much you need to hold on to God, hold fast to God, sharpen your discernment, sharpen your eyes, your ears of the Spirit, so that you know what to do per time. Because 2020 is the year of the visionary, is the year of those that are led, is the year of those that can hear God. That's what will save people, that's what will deliver people, that's what will promote people, that's what will keep people in the year to come. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. I hope that it has been enlightening. I hope that it has been beautiful. I hope that it has been a beautiful ride. It has been a beautiful ride with you people. You know, I've had so much fun recording the episodes that we have recorded. And this is going to be the last episode this season. It has been an experience. Thank you so much for tuning in. Till I come your way again, I remain Fajin Bisi Yewandiolua Folakemi. I pray that your days are filled with light and the joy of God follows you. Merry Christmas in advance and Happy New Year in advance to see you in 2021. And I pray that 2021 for you is that year, is your year that you possess the gates, you possess territories and you take over. It is well with you. Bye. Thank you.